Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Social Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Frank, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm happy to do so. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, as I mentioned, I was hoping to get someone from the Social Security Administration on my show for a while. I'm glad you're my first guest. Let's talk about you for a second. You recently became the CIO at SSA. How's it going so far?
It's going wonderfully. I would say there isn't a day that goes by that doesn't bring some share of excitement and something unexpected happening. The culture at Social Security is deeply wedded to the agency's mission. And that is visible in every interaction I have. Sometimes in my career, I've stepped into large organizations and you feel a bit lost. It can be difficult, but everyone in Social Security has been remarkably supportive. And I think they're looking forward to an enlarged office of CIO to bring innovations into the agency.
Now, you mentioned stepping into an organization and feel lost. I mean, Social Security is not a small organization. I mean, it affects everyone across the nation, and I don't know how many thousands of people, but I always think of it as one of those, not DOD size, but definitely not one of the small ones either.
That's right. We have about 65,000 employees at about 1,350 field offices across the nation, and then there are another 20,000 employees that Social Security funds who work for the states, helping us with disability determinations.
So we'll get to this in a sec. So I guess the question is are you responsible for all that technology that supports these people?
I am. The Office of CIO has agency-wide responsibility for both employees in headquarters and across the nation, as well as the disability determination services.
So obviously that's not an easy thing to do when you're talking about not only 85,000 employees, 65,000 plus the 20,000 in the states, but the field offices. Makes every time I've talked to a CIO about this and they've talked about their field offices, that is always one of the most difficult things to deal with just because of how far they're spread out.
It is, because many of our field offices are relatively small. So there aren't dedicated technologists at each of those field offices. So we need to support them with headquarters support as well as some training to make sure the people who are there can do their job using our technology.
Let's talk a little bit about your role as CIO and how you do support the mission. Obviously, you guys are both the technology infrastructure providers, and do you provide kind of external technology? Talk a little bit about your role.
Well, the Office of CIO has responsibility for oversight over the IT budget for the agency. Our budget is about $1.3 billion. And, we've looked across government, and we're sort of in the middle. There are agencies that are larger and smaller than us in terms of that investment. But we use that investment to support each one of those 1,350 field offices, as well as for our data center back here in Woodlawn, Maryland. The mission for Social Security is actually supporting all Americans. As you may know, we provide retirement support, we support Americans with disabilities, and we support disadvantaged Americans. We have multiple programs across those areas. In total, we support about 55 million Americans every month.
When you talk about supporting those people, how do you support it as CIO in terms of ensuring that the back office infrastructure is up and running? What is your support area?
There are multiple systems that support each one of those programs. Initially, those systems were designed to support field office workers because most of the claims we took were in those field offices. If someone wanted to apply for retirement, they would come into their local Social Security office, and we built a system to do that client intake at that point and then pass that information back to the National Computing Center here in Maryland. As time goes by, though, we're re-architecting those systems so that they can become more public-facing. So each one of those applications, we hope eventually, is going to be something that you can do over the telephone, calling an 800 number, or over the internet, whatever you as a citizen is comfortable with.
Yes, Social Security is always called out when the president speaks about, hey, if you can make a reservation online for Open Table, why can't you look up your Social Security online? So I know that there's probably a lot of pressure on your agency to make some significant changes, some modernization.
There's a lot of pressure. That pressure, I would say, comes from the fact that the baby boom is beginning to retire. So our workloads are going to go up dramatically over the next few years as more and more people apply for retirement. And also with the recession, more people are applying for disability because it is somewhat tied to the economy. As those workloads go up, we need to use systems that are public-facing so that we can take more of the people that don't need special care out of the field offices and serve them over the 800 line or over the Internet, allowing the field offices and that personal contact to deal with individuals who require special attention.
Now, let me ask you about those field offices. You said 1,350 field offices across the country. Do they all come back to a centralized kind of data center?
It's mostly a centralized system. All of our data is stored here at the National Computing Center in Woodlawn. So they rely on that data. We have different systems that work in different ways. So some of the systems will take that data, move it locally into the regions, but ultimately they'll sync it back up to Woodlawn.
I know that area well. Actually, I grew up in Baltimore, so my mother used to work at the Social Security Administration. So it's I know when you mentioned Woodlawn, a little bit of memory there.
I can't tell you the number of people I hear about who had a family member who worked at Social Security. It seems to support Americans in so many ways.
Very true. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you gave us a little bit of a hint about some of your priorities. And when we come back, we're going to delve a little deeper into those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Social Security Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Social Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Frank, before break, we talked a lot about your office, the way it's set up, the way you guys are supporting the mission of the agency. And one of the things you mentioned was some of those priorities that are starting to pop up, starting to creep out from our conversation. So tell me, let's get into more details. Tell me, what are you working on over the next 6 or 9 months?
We have a lot going on. I suppose a few things rise to the top as being our most important priorities. One I touched upon a minute ago, and that is providing citizen-centric services. And by that I mean we need to provide services over the Internet that are every bit as good as the service you would expect if you went into a field office. But we don't want to deliver a service that we think public wants. We want to deliver services, ultimately, that the public is asking for. So we need to understand public needs. And to that end, we do a lot of surveying and look at what the public is expecting in terms of services, very much like what they're getting over the Internet if they go to Amazon.com or Google.
That's interesting because you always hear that, you know, well, what's Amazon doing? What's Google doing? But in some ways, your service is even more important because they may have customers, but you have you serve, as you said, 55 million people a week. And that's a huge set of expectations that you're always trying to make people happy. And we all know you can't always make people happy. So how are you surveying? Is it focus groups? Is it online surveys? What's the combination?
We do a whole range of surveys. Some are focus groups. Last year, we did some focus groups in a few cities across America asking people about authentication. Authentication is one of those enabling technologies that we need to get right if we're going to put more applications online. So we went out and asked the American people, what would you like in terms of authentication? What sort of information are you willing to divulge so that we know who you say you are? And we feel very confident about that. And so that's the sort of survey that we undertake to best understand what what the American public is looking for.
Now, authentication is definitely one of those things that you say, oh, we got to fix that, because I personally hate, I have a password for my bank and a password for my email account on Yahoo and a password for this, and they're never the same passwords and I can never remember them. So, of course, I write them down. Don't tell anyone that, okay? Because, you know, they always say don't write down your email.
Won't look around your office.
There you go. So how are you dealing with that authentication? I mean, there's a pilot going on over at the NIH around OpenID. Are you guys following that pilot? Are you looking at something else right now?
We're following. There are pilots going on all over the government. But we actually have a plan in Social Security that we hope is going to allow us to increasingly deliver services to just about every American. So sometime in the next year, we're going to begin to roll out that authentication protocol, which we're calling Roam, recognition of mostly everyone.
And can you talk a little bit about what the protocol is? I mean, is this something that is used, you know, kind of like an OpenID standard, or is this something you guys are developing?
It's a protocol that we're developing that's based upon using data that we have in databases as well as private databases.
So over the next year, you said you're going to be rolling it out. Do you have specific applications that you're going to start with?
I'd rather not go into that right now.
All right. So you're telling me I got to follow up with you in the near future.
That would be great. I'd love to talk to you about that.
All right. Because I think people are going to be excited about it. And obviously, you probably have some I's to dot and some T's to cross before you go down that path.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, again, I'll follow up with you in maybe in a few months or something. Talk about some of your other priorities. You mentioned citizen-centric. What about some other things you're working on?
Well, IT governance. As I said, we spend about $1.3 billion on information systems in Social Security every year, and we're restructuring our governance framework so that we can bring a greater strategic focus to those projects that we support. Rather than looking at the specific projects, we want to make sure that our IT projects are aligned with the agency's strategy and that our investments are, in fact, focused on delivering the agency's strategy each year.
Now, when you talk about governance, that takes a pretty big, broad subject area. Are we talking about like capital planning, investment control type of governance, or are we talking about something more like Lean Six Sigma or even ITIL?
I'm talking about capital investments, about the money that we put forward for each IT project that we fund. Right now, we have a governance structure that gets into too many details, I guess I'd say. We have roughly 650 IT projects that are funded out of that governance structure. We'd rather roll that up into initiatives so that we can make sure those initiatives are tied to the agency's strategy.
Talk a little bit about how you're going to do that. Is it a matter of getting the program people on board and the acquisition people, or is this really just an IT-focused one for the short term?
We're going to use a standard portfolio management approach. So there are portfolios that match the agency's strategy. And within each of those portfolios are a number of initiatives that help the agency pursue its strategy. And we want to make sure that those initiatives are funded according to the priorities that the commissioner set forward for the agency.
I got to ask this question. Is it all going to be in a dashboard?
Eventually, I'd love to have it in a dashboard and up online for the public to see how we're spending their money and how we're web-enabling all those applications that we want to make available.
You know, I couldn't resist. Whenever someone brings up portfolio management, I got to ask about the dashboard, because that's a trend right now we're seeing in government, which is, you know, not good, not bad. Just it's something we're seeing a lot of. So you got governance, you got citizen-centric services, you got some authentication, which is very exciting. The one thing we haven't talked much about yet is the data center. I think there's a lot of people very interested in what's going on with your new data center and whether data is being protected and backed up in the meantime. Talk a little bit about what the status of that is.
Congress approved funding for the new National Sports Center, which is going to replace the existing data center in Woodlawn. We got $500 million, and we're going to build the greenest data center we can build to take advantage of leading technologies that's used by industry. In fact, we've been going out and looking at some of the latest and greatest data centers built by tech companies across America so we can take the best ideas and incorporate them into ours. We're working closely with GSA in the planning of the National Computer Center. And right now, we're looking at site selection. I believe in the legislation that Congress passed, the site should be within 40 miles of Woodlawn. So that's where we are right now. We're taking a bit of time making sure we have the right site down. and hopefully we'll be purchasing the property in the next few months.
Now, obviously, you haven't even gotten to that data center part, the actual building part, but when you say it's going to be one of the greenest data centers, can you give me some examples of maybe what you'd like to see or what you think that some things that maybe you guys are considering?
We're looking at a range of technologies that we would incorporate into that data center, everything from renewable energy to isolating the heat that comes from servers so that we can take it out most efficiently and not overcool the facility.
Because there are definitely some interesting things going on across government when you talk about green IT. And the data centers, I know, is a huge priority for the Office of Management and Budget. I'm sure you're familiar with the Data Center Consolidation Initiative. Is that kind of playing into your planning?
Not really, because Social Security is pretty well consolidated as it is now. We predominantly depend upon two data centers. We have a co-processing center that serves us well as backup and co-processing. And then we have the National Computing Center, and that's the one that's going to be replaced. So we're happily not in the position of having to consolidate multiple data centers. We're down to two as it is now.
I think a lot of agencies will be envious of your position of being down to two already, because a lot of people have a lot of data centers. I think this initiative may be a tough road to go down for a lot of people. Can you kind of explain the situation you're in terms of everything's being backed up by tape and you want to get out of that tape process? Am I accurate on that?
No, we're actually pretty happy with tape backups. They work very well. We use a secure system for tape backups, and we have multiple offsite storage locations to maintain images of our data and to enable us to recover in event of service interruption. So if there's ever a problem, we'll go to backup site one or backup site two for the data. And as I said, we also have a co-processing center that we completed a year ago in North Carolina, and that's serving us well as we bring that online, so that not only is it serving in the event of a disaster, but it's also helping us manage workloads.
My understanding of the tape backup is that, yes, it works well, but it may take 2 or 3 days should something happen, and you want to get into something that's more real-time backup. Is that right?
That's right. We're going to bring up our data centers synchronously, so that both the new National Support Center and the co-processing center allow us to synchronize between the two, and if one goes down, we can just seamlessly switch over to the second one. But for now, we have this tape backup, and you're always going to need to do a tape backup because you want that reliability that comes from having something stored off-site and offline.
Obviously, the goal is to make sure that you can get that dual backup going and never have to miss a beat. One last thing about the data centers I wanted to ask you about was you mentioned you went around looking at different leading technology companies and their data centers. If you can mention which ones, that'd be great. But if not, can you tell us some of the neatest things you saw as you were doing your research?
Well, we visited Microsoft's new data center in Chicago. This is a leading data center in terms of the density of servers that they're putting in there. What they've done is they've packed servers into shipping containers. Now, there's a particular need that Microsoft has that is a bit different than us. We may not be able to do the same thing, but one of the things we learned from them was just how dense they can pack those servers and allow the temperatures to rise without having to cool them. We've also visited IBM's new data center in Durham, North Carolina. And they're doing some pretty cool things there as well.
Well, we're going to take another break, and then we're going to come back. We can talk some more about things going on at the Social Security Administration. You're listening to Ask the CIO at Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Social Security Administration's CIO.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Frank Bateman, the Social Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Frank, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked about the data center a lot, which I think there's a lot of interest in. One of the things we didn't hear about was some of the buzzwords that are floating around in the federal technology community. Cloud computing, thin clients, Web 2.0. Talk a little bit about how SSA is using any of these, either of these, all of these technologies.
Well, I think you've hit all the buzzwords we're looking at. As most federal agencies are, we're looking at cloud computing, for example. And, you know, initially, we're going to look at using the cloud for low-risk applications. And we'll be working with other federal agencies to make sure that we share our FISMA certifications on the cloud, whether or not we have that cloud hosted by the federal government or we look to industry to host it.
And when you say low risk, can you give us an example of maybe what a low risk application is?
For instance, we haven't made any decisions yet, but something like our website, that's something that might be better hosted outside where you can have scalability, reliability, and lower costs than if we host it internally.
And I imagine even something like public affairs, press releases, and things like that, stuff you want to get the word out to the public on.
Something where there are probably going to be erratic hits. So on particular days of the month, for instance, there are going to be a lot of hits on our website, and it's better if someone who can scale that with additional servers host that. They can probably do it for a lot less money than we can do it internally as well.
Now, you're talking about modernizing kind of your citizen services. Now, a lot of that contains obviously some sensitive information. If I want to log on to find out how much Social Security I will be due when I'm 65 or whatever age, I can do that, but that obviously becomes sensitive. Is that stuff ever, do you think, could go to the cloud, even maybe a private cloud that's a federal government only?
You know, that's something for the distant future, I guess I'd say. There's a lot we can do nearer term that's lower risk, so there's no reason to put that out there.
Okay, because I think, you know, that's one of those scalable things as well that you were mentioning. That's why I thought of it. You know, some people always want to go the first of the month, how am I doing, or when's my check coming, versus fewer people maybe on the 15th or the 20th of the month.
Sure, but, you know, if we properly architect those, we can put the application out there, but keep the data secure within Social Security.
And I think that's something that a lot of agencies are starting to look at as well, because I think there's a lot of interest in cloud, but there is that same feeling, let's start low risk, start small, and then build up. Web 2.0, again, I think a lot of the citizen-centric stuff could be dealt with through Web 2.0 social networking, you know, chats, or maybe even a blog about, you know, latest changes. Any thoughts around that?
Oh, that's exactly right. I think Web 2.0 is sort of the enabling technology for what I was talking about earlier, which is giving citizens an experience online that is comparable to what they get coming into an office. So if we use the latest and greatest Web 2.0 technologies, we can really provide that experience. Of course, Social Security holds itself to a pretty high standard in terms of population that we serve. We serve many Americans with disabilities, for example. So we need to make sure that our systems employ the latest and greatest technologies, but also offer Section 508 compliance so that no one is left behind.
I was just thinking that the Section 508, a lot of times when you get to Web 2.0, Section 508 is a secondary thought. And especially when you talk, like, not to pick on any one type of network, but Facebook or Twitter, sometimes that's not necessarily 508 compliant, and they don't need to be because they're the private sector. But as soon as the government begins using it, that adds another layer of complexity. One other thing that came to mind as you were talking about Web 2.0 was many CIOs are blogging now. Any thoughts about, are you going to join that group?
Oh, I hope to in the coming months. I hope that you'll see a CIO blog and more social media appearing on the Social Security website. You know, as you know, most agencies have stood up a website for public comments on their transparency initiatives. And we're getting, a few hundred comments already have appeared, and we're taking those into account as we develop the agency's transparency plan.
I was going to ask about data.gov as well, because that's another popular website that a lot of agencies are having to take part in. What kind of data sets have you put out there, and do you have other ones that are kind of getting ready to be put out there as well?
We do. I think we put out there about 15 data sets when they all went public a few weeks back. I haven't checked recently, but when they first went up, they were getting an awful lot of hits. One of the data sets, for instance, that we put out there were the number of cases that each administrative law judge was seeing. And as you know, the disability backlog at Social Security is one of our priorities to reduce that backlog. So I think a lot of people found it very insightful to see how many cases each judge was working on and how many determinations they were making every month.
Wanted to talk a little bit about vendors. You guys, you mentioned your budget, $1.3 billion IT budget. A lot of vendors probably knocking at your door trying to tell you about how their all their great technologies they could help you with. What would you like to tell the vendors in terms of how do you like them to work with SSA?
SSA is a bit different than most other federal agencies. We are predominantly self-supported. And by that, I mean we have lots of technologists who are federal employees. We have roughly 3,000 federal employees who are in the technology group, many of them programmers, and roughly about 1,500 contractors who work daily at Social Security. So it's roughly about a 2-to-1 ratio. That's very different than other federal agencies. But we're also experimenting here, and I guess that's one of the messages I would leave for the vendor community, is we're interested in good ideas. So one of the projects that was funded by ARRA is a software project called Disability Claim Processing System. It's an experiment. We're looking for a vendor who's going to propose the best solution and build it, which is something we typically don't do. Normally, we build the systems ourselves, and we have contractors who provide staff augmentation to our development teams. But in this case, we've decided to look outside for someone who has a great deal of experience in SOA architecture.
So is this a request for proposals that's out there, that's going out there? What's the status?
Oh, it's out there already. It's been published.
So I think that's great. You know, the fact that you guys are a 2-to-1 ratio of feds to contractors, are you guys having trouble or finding, in your short time there, are you finding it fairly, I don't want to say easy, but, you know, you can hire people to meet your needs that have the, you know, correct technical skills. Is that something that's easily done or something that is challenging for everyone, but nothing more than usual?
Yeah, I guess I would say it's challenging for everyone. In this economy, it's a little bit easier because there are more people who are looking. But, you know, we have a pretty good opportunity to come and work at Social Security. You can work on some of the most complex technology systems that are out there. And I think that inspires a lot of young technologists to come and consider the opportunity here.
All right, and that's a great segue to my last question because we're almost out of time. You said it inspires a lot of young technologists to work there. You are new to Social Security as well. Talk to us about your decision to come work in the government, and where else have you worked before?
I was inspired to come work in the federal government, I guess, because I'm jazzed about the potential for technology. It's a vision that President Obama mentions often, and it creates enormous expectations. I think the government right now is sort of at this point where industry might have been about 10 years ago when everyone began talking about e-business, but businesses had to begin to think about how do I re-architect my systems so that it can actually become an e-business. I'd say we're probably there right now, and the potential is enormous when you consider the large scale of our operations and the number of Americans that an agency like Social Security touches. So that's what brought me here. My own background is one where I've been around technology and innovation for about 25 years. I actually began my career working as a government contractor in a different area. I was actually in national security and arms control, but then the technology bug bit me, and I went and worked in industry for the following, 20 years. I worked at IBM Research, where I helped commercialize disruptive technologies coming out of research. I was in corporate strategy. I've worked for a think tank, the Institute for the Future, and I've worked as a venture capitalist.
All right, and here you are. Congratulations. You have a big job ahead of you, and obviously we got to discuss a little bit of what you're going to get done, but unfortunately we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Frank Bateman, the Social Security Administration's Chief Information Officer. Frank, thanks so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.